So it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Okay, we ready?
Yep.
All right, as a preliminary matter, this is Jeff Harris. Permit me to confirm that all members and persons anticipated on the agenda are present and can hear me. Chairman Bridget Sweet.
Okay, thank you.
Member Kim Muchow.
Yes, here.
Staff, when I call your name, please respond in affirmative, state each.
It doesn't say where, there's no number.
Kathleen Liberty. Here.
Good to know. Make sure we change that.
Yeah, I'm here.
Jenny McNeil.
Here.
Health agent Alicia Sullivan.
Oh, here.
Public health nurse John Robertson.
Oh, that got mixed up.
Yeah.
Shared service grant, regional inspector.
No, you just.
Okay.
That was John.
That was John. Epidemiologist, Lucia Montero.
You don't have to do them, just Jenny.
Oh, okay.
Jenny and me.
Yes.
All right, then you're all set.
Okay. All right, good evening. This open meeting of the Franklin Board of Health is being conducted remotely, consistent with the Governor Baker's executive order of March 12, 2020. Due to the current state of emergency in the Commonwealth from the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus. In order to mitigate the transmission of the COVID-19 virus, we have been advised and directed by the Commonwealth to suspend public gatherings. And as such, the governor's order suspends the requirement of the open meeting law to have all meetings in a publicly accessible physical location. Further, all members of public bodies are allowed and encouraged to participate remotely. The order, which you can find posted with agenda materials for this meeting, allows public bodies to meet entirely remotely so as long as reasonable public access is afforded so that the public can follow along with the deliberations of the meeting. Ensuring public access does not ensure public participation unless such participation is required by law. This meeting will feature public comment.
That's it. You don't have to go
further. Okay.
Yeah, we're all set. All right, I'll take that.
Okay. Do I have approval of old business? Do I hear a motion?
Approval of minutes?
Approval of the minutes, old minutes.
I move to approve.
Do I hear
I'll make a second. Yeah, I'll make a second because Jeff, I'm kind of bringing you the chair, so I have a second.
Okay. So, and I approve the minutes from the old meeting.
So Jeff, we're going to say all in favor, and then you go back around. So
okay.
Say, so
all in favor.
And then go to Kim?
Yes.
And then Bridget says yes, and then you say?
And I say yes.
Perfect.
Okay.
Now you're off the hook.
It's all yours.
You want me to go through?
Yes, please.
All right, thanks. All right, so we'll talk a little bit about new business. So EA shelter update. I've been told the Commonwealth will be getting a provider or resettlement agency mid-May. And that pretty much they will be working primarily on housing the new arrivals. So that will be a great thing. I don't know if anybody has any questions about that, what a provider or resettlement agency is, but most of the EA shelters have a provider. This, I think it's Compassionate Care, possibly?
Yeah,
something like that. Except ours, and ours is one of the largest shelters. So we're really excited and happy because they really, they'll be okay with local resources, but it's not necessary. They'll just provide everything that they need. So I'm excited to have them come in. We should be meeting them in mid-May and kind of get a little bit more of the expectation of if they even want us there. So there'll be case managers working with them through the provider, so that'll be good. Good? Okay. So, housing task force update. I don't usually talk too much about this, but and for anybody who doesn't know about this, we being the building commissioner, fire department, police department, health department, we came together about 3 years ago, I think, and we started discussing abandoned, vacant properties in the town. And we, in conjunction with the Attorney General's office, we work with the Assistant Attorney General, where we all come together, we do inspections of the dwelling, and the Health Department sends an enforcement letter, and the Attorney General's office sends a demand letter, and that usually gets the owner's attention to make repairs or clean up the property or whatever it is. There's one property that has been on our list straight from the very beginning that we haven't been able to do due to the fact that the owner, I think, is deceased. It's 21 Country Club Boulevard, and I'm happy to announce that we will be going to housing court to, so the court can, what's the word? Darn, I can't think of the word, to get what's called a receiver. And a receiver is usually, so there's this word that I can't think of, works with the housing court, and they will come in, they will bait all the violations and remodel it, bring it up to code, and from there they can sell it, rent it, buy it, I don't know. So very excited to hear that 21 Country Club Boulevard, it's a real eyesore, it's on a cul-de-sac in a beautiful neighborhood, and so the residents around, they've been very patient, so I'm very excited to be going to housing court, and so I should start to see some type of lift, I would say, in about 6 months. Excuse me.
He just said...
Okay.
Who pays for that, to have that?
So that receiver. Work? So they contract that literally with housing court, and so if... So we do a lot of inspections, a lot of pictures, a lot of work that goes behind just going to housing court and going before the judge, and the judge will say whether, oh, appoint, that's the word I was thinking. She'll appoint a receiver to manage the house. So
the receiver is paying for it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So very exciting to announce. So
does that eventually go to the Affordable Housing Trust as part of that too?
No, I don't think so. No, no. Yeah, so anyone have any questions about that? No? Everyone's good?
It's great that it's getting done.
Yes. So great.
Yeah.
But you know what the bad part is? It's a beautiful house, and just sitting there, it's so structurally unsound now, right? It's just falling apart, and people are in there, and it's just broken.
Do we have any problem like stuff like that with squatters coming into these abandoned...
Well, they don't stay. They'll come in, they'll sleep, and then they'll leave, you know, as a rule.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't seen that here. But it happens.
Yeah.
So the avian flu update, this is a real twist, and I won't get too involved in it, but I'm mainly bringing it up to educate the public. So the highly pathogenic avian influenza has now contaminated or has transferred into cows, right? Milk-producing cows. And the CDC, USDA, and the FDA are all involved in testing the milk and the cattle, and human actually can get it as well. It's not fatal by any means, but the reason I wanted to bring it up today is people are still drinking raw milk, okay? If the milk from these cows are not pasteurized, the HPAI, the influenza, will be in the milk, okay? So to the community, if you are drinking raw milk, it is very dangerous if it comes from a cow that is infected with this flu.
Are they testing the milk at all?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, we just had a meeting with the CDC. So we put a little graph in here how the poultry gets it, but it has now been found in 9 states, Southeast Asia and in Texas. They've already done 297 samples of cream, sour cream, cottage cheese, half and half, and they're analyzing the milk, those milk products as well. But it really highly discourages raw milk because the pasteurization kills harmful bacteria and viruses. But raw milk doesn't go through that process.
Hmm.
And I actually know people who are drinking raw milk against my, because I mean, you can get sick otherwise. It's not just this flu. But I just wanted to give everyone a heads up. If you know anybody, make sure they follow the CDC guidelines. It is, one person does have it here. And so what happens is They're, the FDA and CDC, they're starting to promote PPE or personal protection equipment for the staff working with the cows so that humans won't keep getting it, you know, I mean, so it's a lot.
Is there something they give to the cow to prevent it from getting this, or?
That's a good question. I don't think so.
No medication they could give?
No, they can't. That's the problem. That's why they were killing so many birds, because they're resistant to it.
Yeah.
Okay, we used to drink that all the time.
Raw milk?
Yeah. Medway, there used to be a farm there.
You want to weigh in, Bridget?
What's that?
You want to weigh in?
No. I was making faces when he said he used to drink raw milk.
That was a long time ago, but we did. We used to buy it all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get sick from, you know, raw milk in other cases, but this is just really unsafe to drink. Mm. And so that's the reason I brought it up. I don't know if anyone has any questions.
Do you have anything on the website, on the town website, like a little disclaimer or like a little infographic or something that says that, like, hey, just kidding, no raw milk.
I can find something. I mean, it's pretty technical what I'm reading. But I'm sure the CDC is going to come out with something generic. I'll look. And that's about it, I think. 36 farms in 9 states. And a federal order was just implemented that they're mandatory testing and reporting. So that's a good sign. There were over 750 people on this call. Were you on that call, Bridget?
No, I had to do enough raw milk stuff in school. I had enough avian flu stuff, so I knew it was happening a while ago. So I've just been waiting it out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now I'll turn it over to John if you want to just share your April report.
Sure. So in the month of April, I did 14 routine food inspections. I did 9. Food establishment re-inspections. What's missing from the report is 1 pre-opening inspection for someone who was closed for a while. So for a total of 24 food inspections. And so I attended the public health inspector. I attended the FDA self-assessment and verification audit training. And yesterday, the community sanitation program for updates on recreational camps.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
How about our public health nurse report?
Okay. So for communicable diseases, for COVID-19 cases, and this data is collected April 29th, so it is subject to change. Franklin total COVID-19 cases for April were only 23. Which is down 1 from March 24. And I have a little graph there that's from the tracking the wastewater with COVID-19. And as you can see, even in the wastewater, it's really going lower. So we continue to monitor COVID-19 clusters and other communicable disease case investigations, including foodborne illnesses. For influenza, the numbers also dropped significantly in the month of April. We have a total of 306 confirmed cases in Franklin, and this is going back to like August, the start of flu season. And only 10 of those cases were in April, so just about 3% of the cases, whereas we had 55 in March. So that's about 15% decrease. Last week, severity of influenza is estimated to be low for the Franklin area. Influenza-like illness visits are greater than baseline at 2.85. Last week was 2.14. And the most common influenza strain is still type A. This week, 10.3% of emergency department visits were due to acute respiratory disease. That could be anything from COVID, flu, RSV. So I know Kathleen just spoke about the avian flu virus, but I just wanted to give an update too. I was reading an article. It was saying 1 in 5 commercial milk samples tested in a nationwide survey contained particles of the H5N1 virus, the FDA said late on Thursday. So the agency said there's no reason to believe the virus found in milk poses a risk to human health on Friday, described results of the new tests, but people can catch the virus via close contact with live poultry infected with the disease, but not through eating eggs or poultry products. But when it comes to the raw milk, like Kathleen says, because you're not having the process of pasteurization, you're going to have a higher content of that virus in the milk, so makes it a little different, okay? Central Park Terrace, we went there for, we had bingo on April 17th, and I also did a blood pressure and blood sugar clinic on the 24th. That was also the day of the mobile food pantry, which is still continuing to occur there monthly. For educational classes last month, Stop the Bleed training for the community at St. Mary's Church in Rhythm on the 17th of April, and Stop the Bleed training for the community for Franklin on 424 at the Franklin Fire Station. Also did CPR, oh, that's from March, sorry about that, that's still on there. I think that's it then. So for meetings and trainings, continuing with bi-weekly and local and monthly local Board of Health webinars, continuing with the Student Wellness Committee, so I met with them on the 2nd of April. I also did a summer camp training on the 4th of April, and me and Cassia went and met with the COA at the Franklin Senior Center on the 16th of April. For nursing care, continuing blood pressures, glucose monitoring, case management services and referrals, and I'm still continuing with the migrant assistant, at the emergency shelter, assisting with medical appointments, medication management, blood pressure, glucose testing, triaging on Wednesdays, and providing resources and case management services.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Cassia, before you go, I just want to, Cassia's title currently is epidemiologist, but the state has stopped funding this grant for this position. So Rentham has hired her as the shared coordinator for the Public Health Excellence Grant, which she will start on Monday. So just a few changes in what she'll be doing. She'll also not only be shared coordinator and working with all the other Public Health Excellence Grant awardees and overseeing kind of what Alicia's doing and John and working with me as well. It should be pretty cool, but she's also going to join us with doing like the low-risk retail food inspections once she's trained, which will be great. And so I think she's looking forward to that. So as of next month, I don't even think she'll be here. I can report unless you want to. It's totally up to you.
Yeah.
But if you know, you have to go to the other Board of Health meeting.
Possibly, I'm not sure.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I guess.
But as of next,
we're not gonna have a talk with that town meeting.
I know, really. Strain him out, will you?
Congratulations, thank you.
As of next month, her new title will be shared coordinator. So
yeah.
So congratulations. I'm very excited that you're staying on with us.
Yes.
So
thank you.
So you can do your report.
So in the month of April, there are 23 confirmed COVID-19 positive cases, 0 reported COVID-19 related deaths, and Alicia provided the graph for the wastewater, and as you can see, it's still trending down, which is good. Weekly, I'm sending out regroup texts and emails to raise awareness of health issues, surveillance and case management of communicable diseases. I did a few trainings this month. So we did a fad diet training at the Franklin Senior Center on the 9th, and then Stop the Bleed training at St. Mary's in Rentham on the 17th, and Stop the Bleed training at the Franklin Fire Department for the community on the 24th. I did update the homeless resource guide with the help of Kim. So we created a whole new tab in there for statewide resources, which is great. So I'm updating the migrant dashboard weekly, and this data can be found on the Franklin Health Department website. The data did change since I put this in, last week or earlier this week. There's 309 individuals right now, 89 families. So that's the difference at the moment.
Has some moved out? Is that why?
Because it was 312, so someone must have moved out.
So we do have the health fair coming up next month. So it is going to be at the Franklin Library on June 5th from 2 to 5 p.m. So right now we have our max amount of vendors. So there's gonna be 20 vendors, petting zoo, raffles, giveaways. So a lot of good stuff. So definitely go check that out. At Central Park Terrace, we did the mobile food pantry the 24th. And I forgot to add the bingo on the 17th. And then firmings and certifications, we have the monthly LBOH webinar, weekly Epi Zoom meeting, and a rec camp webinar on the 4th.
Excellent, thank you. All right. If nobody has any questions, I think we're done.
Wait, I want to say one thing.
Okay.
I want to say on behalf of the COA that they were very impressed with your presentations.
Oh, thank you.
And very pleased with everything that the town does for public health.
Oh, that's so
nice. So it was really good that they were there so that they could actually hear some of that and answered questions, and they went through the website and the homeless site.
Wow.
Just to give them more of an idea of everything we do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want to stay in the shadows. All right, thank you. You good, Bridget?
Yeah, I just wanted to, it's more of like a personal thing, but it's more to like remind people like in the minutes about how Massachusetts has safe havens. Devin's a sophomore down at UTampa, and a freshman at UTampa actually gave birth in her dorm room, and rather than do anything else with the baby, she threw the baby in the dumpster.
Oh my gosh.
And I had Timothy when I was in school, so I know how difficult those decisions are, but just like a gentle reminder, just being captured in the minutes that like there are other choices that people can do when they're in that decision, like when they're faced with those types of things, like especially here where we're a safe haven, you know, Massachusetts is a safe haven place. So if anyone was ever faced with that, they could go to, you know, the fire department or the hospital and make a different decision than something like that.
Well said. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Is the baby okay?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been pretty. I don't think I've slept since.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow.
Sorry. No, just
awful. Yeah.
Hmm. Two lives, you know?
Yep.
So, just a reminder, I think people forget that we take things for granted, or we think people know, or maybe she was panicked. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
No, I know. I know.
So, just a reminder.
Thank you. All right.
And thank you all.
Is there any citizens' commentary? No? Do you want a motion to adjourn?
Yep, I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Right. Jeff, all in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Aye. Yay. All right. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate it. Everyone has a good rest of the day.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.